Good afternoon. This is the KPFK Finance Committee meeting for November 11th. We're getting going at 3:10, and I'm going to take the roll call. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron?
Here.
Alan Beek? Alan? Well, I heard him before. Okay. Hi, Alan. Fred Blair?
Present.
Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Dave Johnson?
I'm here.
Steve Kaiser?
Here.
Kim Kaufman, Chair and Secretary. That is me, and I am here. Janine Roan?
Here.
Michael Novick?
Present.
Paulina Vasiliev? Not here. John Wenger? Not here. General Manager Aniel Fields?
Yes, here.
Barry Brooks? He here yet?
I think he should be joining us shortly.
Beth Van Guten? James Sagerton? Their potential guests? Neither here. Okay, well, we have quorum. I guess, can I get a motion to approve the agenda? You want me to read it out loud? You want me to read it, people?
Yeah.
Please?
Yeah.
Okay, approve agenda, approve minutes from October 14th. Next meeting is December 9th at 3 p.m. Question?
Object. Next meeting should be the same day as the Governance Committee. This is
whatever.
The week early, Joan Hare.
Okay. Alan, we can discuss that at the end. Now, I put questions on report that we received from Barry on the current financial status. But I'd like to move that and just deal with the budget first, which was number 6. We need to approve or not this budget and send the recommendations to the LSB for this Sunday's LSB meeting, and then also to review Allegiance Fund Drive data. So can we move... 5, 6. So we'll deal with the budget first up, people. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, so with that revision, any objections?
Yes, I object to this budget. It includes the depreciation.
Alan, the budget is on the agenda. If you have problems with the budget, we can bring it up when we get to it on the agenda. It's on
Sorry.
The agenda.
There.
So the agenda is approved? Everyone? No objections to that? Okay. Did you all get a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes.
Any comments, questions, changes?
No.
Okay, so the minutes are approved. Let's talk about the budget. Who's got comments? Take a stack? Or... Hello?
Kim?
Yes?
Kim, add me to the stack.
Well, you're first.
Fred.
Go ahead, Fred.
Okay, I spent several hours last night going over the latest budget. I'm trying to do several things here at the same time. I need to bring up the budget. One comment is that all the comparison numbers, which are last year's actual numbers, FY20's actual numbers, on the budget are wrong. They're just bad. They're either FY19 numbers or they're out of I don't know. They're random numbers.
No, they are from 19, and I made a comment last night to everyone that they were the wrong numbers. So yes, that's correct. They're wrong numbers.
Well, in any case, they're driving me crazy. Because I have to open up the NIDA consolidated pane for KPFK to compare anything with the budget. Just making that comment. I can't get the budget open. One of the major aspects I notice is that payroll has been reduced by about 27% over what was last year. But there's still a $69,000 deficit for the year. And I don't think that's appropriate for a budget given our financial status. Also, I noticed that the central services have been reduced from their current $36,000 per month down to $25,000 per month. I know that since I sit on the National Finance Committee, we're still discussing the formula and what the actual central services payments will be for this coming year. But we've already agreed almost unanimously that central services will be based on actual station fund drive income. But we don't have any specifics for the stations at this point. I don't know if, the central services column is probably not correct at this point. It's KPFK is probably going to be somewhere between $29,000 and $27,000 per month. With the new formula that I did some calculations last night, and that's my back of the envelope estimate of what central services will work out for. So this budget has got a number of problems, and I'm not going to go into all the details. The major problem is we still don't have a chart of fund drives for FY21. We're actually in the second month of the FY21. And I don't know why management can't get us that information. That's from that information the fund drive income is derived, or the projected fund drive income is derived, and that's a major default. That's a major fault of this budget as presented to us. So I don't have a specific question for Annielle. Last night we got some financial dockets from NIDA that gives station payments, and I was wondering why I asked Anita Sims why payroll had us owing KPFK owing $116,000 at this point in time. Can you answer that, Annual?
In payroll?
Yes.
I'm not sure what that 116 is coming from. I mean, with the exception, if that's being categorized as monies that, and even if it's monies that we've borrowed for making up payroll on three occasions. I don't think that comes
too.
To 100. I don't think is that you, Barry?
Yeah, it's the layoffs.
Okay. So is that what they're projecting? What's owed for the severance packages for the three people that were laid off? I'm Fred, I wish I can answer your question directly. That's I'd have to confer with NEDA and how they're classifying that, because that is outstanding money that's owed for the severance packages. Then that's,
well, they
that's
have
what it
down
is.
That it's $74,000 for November.
Okay, I'm confused. And okay, so we went from $116,000 to $74,000.
Well, they still have the $42,000 on the books from last year.
Okay, 42.
In any case, even though that's not directly part of the budget, it's still a question I wanted to ask. Today.
Okay,
it's very concerning.
I'm meeting with NEDA this Friday. I'm going to ask that question to clarify because I don't know exactly. And you said it was 116, and Kim, you said it was
42. Oh. I sent you the chart last night, Danielle. I sent both you and Barry the chart from NEDA last night. So you can see for yourself, they have you owing a total of $331,000 Central Services, $49,010 to PRA, and $116,000 payroll for 19, 20, and 21. So you haven't paid any Central Services this year for October, November, or November's PRA.
No.
And then there's this $74,000 November payroll charge that they have down there.
No.
Well,
okay,
I don't
we
know
did
what you
pay PRA
know.
Central Services for November, so you're saying.
As of when?
November.
As of when?
November 2020.
It's November 10th today.
We paid our central services to PRA for the month of November 2020 of $4,910.
Okay, and you paid for October as well?
Yeah, September, you mean. Oh, I'm sorry, October, yes. We've been paying every month for PRA for the last 3 years. We have not missed the payment to PRA for central services.
Okay, well, I just asked when you paid it because they may have, you know, I mean, they sent out that spreadsheet last night. They may have compiled it a couple of days ago.
Yeah, maybe so, but we paid our central services.
I just asked when, and you don't know.
Last Thursday.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay.
I'm finished it for this for this round of questions.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Ken for the stack.
Go ahead. Somebody else?
Danielle and Barry, could you give us a very precise and definitive definition of the difference between listener support on, I think it's row 8, and website income? Because it would seem to us when we look at fund drive reporting or these budgets or anything, we don't know if money which comes in through the website during a fund drive is listed as listener support, I mean, or not, because, everything is...
I hear you, I hear you, Ken, and I think this is something we're going to need to decide in moving forward in what category income is going to be recorded in. Now, for me, my perspective as a general manager, the website income is listeners donating, whether it's during a fund drive or not during a fund drive. However, I think we need to maybe look at website income as something completely different. If it's moving products on the web outside a fund drive or any other you know, if we're going to sell ads online, that's something I see as website income. Otherwise, people donating, whether we're in Fund Drive or not, people, which people do donate on a day-to-day basis, or usually on a day-to-day basis, that's listeners donating or picking up. In between Fund Drives, we offer KPFK logo items, T-shirts, mugs, etc. So I think we, I don't know if this is where we need to do this or this is a national thing. And this is something we brought up with a conversation with Netta, but there was no resolution to this. We need to redefine what actual website income is. Now, to your question, Fred, on the Allegiance report, it breaks out web income because those are the donations that we've gotten that people donated on the web. Even when we're not in FundDrive, I could generate a report, like let's say for September when we weren't in FundDrive, people donated on the web. So the question we all need to answer is, does that count as website income or is that listener support? I assert that it's listener support, and that's the place where it should actually go. I don't think website income should be broken away from listener support, given the nature of what the money is generated on the web comes from, which is listeners.
Okay, well, I'm going to disagree because we need to... What?
Hello?
Bella to the stack, please, whenever.
Is somebody interrupting me? I'm going
to
disagree because...
To the stack, goes Michael.
Okay, I'll add her to the stack. And you're next, Michael, but I'm going to disagree, and you know, we can discuss whether we want to get into this here, but it has historically, listener support, been what we get from Fund Drives. Now, you're kind of screwing your own pooch by not putting this in other categories, in my opinion, because these numbers don't work out of what we're raising. And we'll get to that when we can get to an actual Fund Drive chart for the Fund Drives.
The Fund Drive chart was sent to you last revision, Kim. I sent you that Fund Drive chart.
When, Barry? 2 minutes ago? I haven't looked at it.
The last revision that we met. I sent you a Fund Drive chart.
What last revision? I don't know when that was.
The last finance committee meeting.
Okay, but it was a bad Fund Drive chart. It's a bad Fund Drive chart, Barry. So we're starting
from
scratch.
Okay, I don't agree.
Okay, fine. I think everybody else on this committee will agree and did agree at the time. Michael Novick is next.
Wait, I'm not finished. It shows 6 Fund Drives for the year, 21 days each. That comes out to $1.8 million for the year.
$15,000
average.
Okay, well, maybe I didn't see that, but nevertheless, your last Fund Drive was 29 days. So whatever that was needs to be revisited, which we will do today. Ken, are you finished? And Michael is next.
I am next.
No, I'm not finished.
Go ahead,
I'm not
Ken.
Finished.
Go ahead.
Okay, so, Anielle, the point is, if you're going to have a line that says website, all you have to do is define it. You can say website, parentheses, non-Fund Drive, close parentheses. And there could be lots of, in addition to just people calling up and donating, there's also, I think, a text to donate. And there could be other campaigns that are not part of a Fund Drive. And also, I don't know, anything else that's not Fund Drive, not on-air Fund Drive. And the Fund Drive should be broken down into hard and soft, whatever terms you want to implement there. So that when you have many Fund Drives or people doing a soft Fund Drive, every programmer should do make an announcement requesting funds. You want to pin the source so that you can manage and see what's working and what's not. To just categorize anything coming in through the website as listener support Yes, it's all listener support because it comes from listeners, unless it's an endowment from or something. But it's not. It's a question of fund drive or non-fund drive. You know, what's the source of the income? And generally speaking, 98% comes from listener support, you know, because we also get money from, you know, maybe someday in the future to CPB or, you know, other things.
Well, car donations, charities, for example.
Yeah, car donations. But those things are already in the GL. They're listed. But I'm
right.
just saying
right.
you want to break down the source of listener support. And so we know that most of it, what percentage is coming via the internet, unsolicited, solicited during a fund drive, solicited during a plea, or like a soft fund drive, something. It's not that, you know, that's what we want to know.
Oh, okay, so
I wouldn't
if
say
I may,
just looking at all is listener support loses information. That's all.
Right. Oh, if I may say, I mean, that this is something that's going to require maybe a whole conversation onto itself, how we want to redefine. Now, one of the things we've learned with Allegiance is, if this doesn't make sense, please let me know, is we can assign source codes, which is similar to like a campaign code for when we put up the on the web. On the back end, we can assign, like, for example, our regular 365 page, which is up on the web, people can donate online, has a source code just for fiscal year 2020 and 2021. And when we go into fund drive, we create a specific source code just for that fund drive. So we can look at the other source codes and we can generate reports based upon those source codes. So what the team and myself have worked out is that we will have a 365 source code that we operate from in between fund drives, and then we have a specific source code just for the fund drive. Now, also, we create specific source codes for other campaigns and other donation pages. For example, we have a specific source code for Sonali's page, kpfk.org/areyouwithsonali. Because throughout the year, she gives that link on her her other wherever she's syndicated, and she uses it in her social media too as well. But specifically, we're hoping that somebody donates specifically because they like her content, not necessarily they listen to KPFK. So I guess in all of what I'm saying is this is going to warrant a discussion in how we want to classify the various channels of listener revenue. And maybe it's not something that's reflected on the page one of the budget, but a breakout tab that has all the various channels, whether it's sustainer income, which I think should be broken out or have its own category too as well. And all the other various channels that we can, you know, throw at it. I don't think we're going to resolve this in this conversation. However, I do want us to, moving forward, clearly define whether I have all the answers or Kim, but I think we need to come to some kind of an agreement on how we're going to define website income and the various channels of listener support.
Okay, you certainly have my permission to go ahead and start doing it, and we can argue about it later. But right now, fund drives and income is coming in without definition available to you to utilize with those codes. Start doing it
right
now, and we can argue later about what adds up to where. But we want to know what the sources of the income are. So do it. There's no reason not to. You don't need somebody else's permission to do that.
Got it.
Am I up?
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done.
Bella was up, asked to
no,
be on the
list. No, excuse me, Bella. I asked for the floor before you did, long before you did.
Okay.
I asked at the same time. Yes, I asked at the
Go
same
ahead,
time.
Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you. Okay, so just to review that concern, the reason that listener support has a separate line, in a sense, in the budget is because historically the central services have been based on a percentage of listener support, meaning the money raised during the fund drives, not all the money the station raises. And so it's to our advantage to minimize, in a sense, what gets listed in the listener support, because that's what will reduce our central services payments under the old formula. Historically, we've had the problem because we've had so many high-ticketed premiums that we pay to central services based on our gross in the fund drives and not the net to the station, which has been a big disadvantage for us historically. So the idea of the listener support is it's supposed to be what is raised in response to the fund drives over the air. And then there's other sources of income for the station, of which website is one. The other concern we've had on the Finance Committee about this is the question of whether the website, so-called website income, is somehow being double reported, that it's really just an aspect of what's already in the listener support. So we need to be clear that that website income is not included in the listener support, and that it's other money besides what's in the listener support, which is supposed to be the results of the fund drive. Related to that, and this is the question about the fund drive charts, is historically the fund drive charts have shown the, and this is from the MEMSIS versions of them, it shows you the money coming in from each drive over the course of many months after that drive, and then it's allocated in the same way as you're doing with the source code. But the money comes in at different points, and so the bulk of it comes in the month of the fund drive, but then a lot of it comes in for a year or even more after that fund drive. So the reason to be concerned about that has to do with the cash flow of the station, and this is the concern I want to raise. Right now, website income is set somewhat arbitrarily, as far as I can see, at $17,334 a month every month. I don't think that's a good idea. I think that we need to have some more accurate assessment of what the website income is. Some things can be prorated over the course of the year. For example, the central services are, and some other bills are. But the income, which will determine our cash flow, needs to be more precise or more related to reality as opposed to a division. For example, we have major donor income, $18,500 a month every month. That doesn't seem realistic to me. So to determine the cash flow in any given month and to make sure we can meet our expenses for that month, you have to have a clearer idea of what the actual income is in any given month so that we can make sure where our expenses that month might have to be adjusted if we can't cover the cash flow, as we sometimes have had to do to delay paying bills and so on to another month. But we need to have a clearer idea of what the actual cash flow might be coming in. I don't think the idea of, I'm not sure how you got the $18,500 a month in major donor income, but unless there's pre-existing commitments for that amount of money, which would surprise me, I don't know. But if that's the case, great. If not, I think we have to have some clear idea of how the campaigns will work and when that money will come in so that we won't have a situation where we have to borrow to make a payroll in a given month from somewhere else in the foundation, because that's very problematic for the whole foundation. Related to which, the same thing happens with card donations. This prorate is $10,330 a month every month. I think we need to look back and see in reality sort of, you know, there are probably certain times of year when more money comes in, certain times of year less money comes in, and we need to reflect that in the budget so that we can determine what the cash flow in any given month is going to be. Related to that, again, we have grant income. I don't know what it is, but again, it's listed mostly at $17,600 a month, except for June, which is $12,600. I don't know if those are grants in hand or they're anticipated. And if so, are they actually on a monthly basis even, or is that just something that got prorated? My last
Alan
question
Bates
is about
that.
My last question
John
is
John
Wenger about
to the queue, please.
Oh, and by the way, Olivia is here just to register and say I'm here.
Okay, my last question is about line 16, community special events, which show beginning in April of 2021, $6,500 a month. Again, I'm not clear what events those are projected, but I'm not sure if we can anticipate having in-person events even next April. So, and again, the idea that somehow it's going to be flat, $6,500 a month, seems kind of strange to me. So I appreciate that this is a budget that tries to get a little closer. And I did see in your letter with it, Danielle, that you were projecting the six fund drives, that the LSB had suggested, six 21-day fund drives every other month. But that also kind of breaks down in the fund in the listener support here. It's not clear how that corresponds to that because we don't see a chart in front of us with what is anticipated in any of those months and how it will flow. So those are some responses.
Okay, I think, let me address the really big one, and I was just on a brief call today with Anita and Tamara about having a running cash flow projection at least 2 months out, ideally 3 months out, that gets updated on a weekly basis. So we're going to be meeting on Friday to work out the logistics on how to get this. One of the challenges we've had, we're still getting in the acclimation of allegiance. I mean, we know a lot more now than we did 2 months ago. So what we need to do is to get the data from allegiance in a streamlined way so that we can, on a weekly basis, update the cash flow projection. That'll be very helpful for me in making the big strategic decisions and where to put priorities in terms of through the number of competing priorities I personally have as a general manager, but on how to delegate and how to address before we go over a cliff. We want to know when we're going to get to the cliff and not determine we're going over a cliff as we're going over a cliff, if that makes any sense. So I'm looking forward to this meeting on Friday, and hopefully we get something going this month. And Barry, I think you saw my email with Tamara and Anita shortly before or right before this meeting to set that up for Friday. Now with the, just to note on major donor income. One of the reasons why I'm going to start including, this was the first fund drive where I broke out how much money was raised by major donors so that we can see how effective, how effective our major donors are responding to our appeals, but also so we can get a sense of what we're raising during a fund drive for major donors as a breakout. And then, Nelson will be able to look at this more closely in between fund drives too as well. I think the 18,500 is something that's been, Kim, I can't remember if this was in a finance committee meeting or in another meeting where we talked about, there are some periods where it needs to be a lump sum amount and not just flat across the board. And I think maybe that's what we need to go back to probably do and revise, because looking at what we raised in major donor income, I mean, we far exceeded the 18,500. We raised approximately, I think it was $93,000 from what we classify as major donors, $1,000 plus donors. We raised $93,095 in the month of October for major donors. I don't think because we saw such a response in October, I don't know if we'll see that 18,500 in this November. So I hear what you're saying, Michael Novick, and I'm open to any advice or recommendations on how to reflect that in the budget, because some months it'll be high, some months it'll be low. Yeah. And I think with historic data, we don't have that historic data like we have with being able to run an easy report like Allegiance to be able to make those determinations moving forward.
Alan Beaker, this is
our immediate future.
Alan, you're on the stack. You're on the stack, but Bella's next.
Thank you. So in good conscience, I will not be approving this budget, not even with my eyes closed or open. Everything is estimated. There is no reality here. And what you just said, Anil, attests to that. That we're not going based on reality, but we are estimating. and this is not a budget that we can live with. And I completely disagree with you on your analysis regarding Sonali, that people should, if they like her content, they should be donating to her program, not because they listen to KPFK. And that is the mentality that has brought us to where we are today. The other side of that is that I am just abhorred. Why is it that Sonali Kahatkar, and I understand, she moves around. She takes her material everywhere. Why does she have a dedicated source code? That is something that I am against. I know it's to track down the income, but the tracking of our income must be done internally, equally across the board, from every programmer. The other thing is I fully agree with Michael on his assessment what is going into the website income because of our central services in CAN. We need to break that down. We need to know what that is, website income. And by looking at this budget, just about every line for the large percent portion of it is estimated. There is no actuality here. There may be some pockets here and there. So in my book, I simply cannot give a clean bill to this budget. It has to be redone. And I think we've been at this now, seven times with a budget that doesn't really work.
Okay. Alan's next.
Yes.
And Kim, am
I have
my next?
Three things that I want to say. One, I think that this analysis of where the money comes from and what causes people to give and so on is excellent, and we should have all those details, and the program manager can make good use of it. But I do not think that much detail belongs in the budget, so that I think that that discussion is not appropriate at this time, but we should go into it in much detail later. The point I want to make is that I think we have to make a recommendation to the LSB, and I, at the right time, will move that we recommend to the LSB that they defy the bylaws which say they have to approve the budget and disapprove the budget. And a third, I'm going to have to get off the line because my battery is going down, but that would be my motion. And finally, the next meeting should be on the same day as the Governance Committee, which is 4 days before the LSB. We should always meet at the same time as the Governance Committee, and I think we should correct that statement that has a week early. There, my battery's going flat. Bye-bye.
Bye, Alan. Wenger?
Number one, I'm here. Number two, I agree with Ken's remarks. I don't think anybody here is going to object to Anil going forward with these changes with Allegiance. I think we all recognize that things need to be done. They need to be done quickly, and so I echo Ken's remarks in that. And also with regard to Michael Novick, I agree with that too, and I particularly want to call attention to what he said. In the past, we've done things in the budget and in our general accounting because of the historical way we've done it in the past. And that's just not going to be good and appropriate for us going forward. The fact is, as we all know, everything's changing. We've got COVID. It could go on forever. We have the can't count on it going away. We have changes in the fundraising patterns. Website income in general is likely to grow. New media are going to influence us. So let's plan on going forward. Let's not be deterred by the past. We have tried to keep listener income a certain way because it had implications with regard to central services. Well, fine. Look, general managers and the NFC can meet and do some and just change that pattern. The whole notion of how much central services will be may change as the nature of the network changes with the changing media landscape and the COVID landscape, et cetera, et cetera. So let's not be deterred by the past. Let's have some vision and look forward. So I'm pleased with what Daniel's doing, and I second the remarks of Ken and Michael. So I'm done. Thank you.
Just one comment. I appreciate Kim's suggestion. I think you probably said this during the Finance Committee, Kim, that the central services, we really need to work from the national office's budget. And then, of course, from there, work right within the means of each of the station's ability to, you know, to contribute to the national office's budget. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, okay. I'm putting myself on the stack here. We can't do anything with central services. So, you know, I mean, we can talk about it, but we can't make any decision and about that. I don't know where to start. Bella, you don't have the floor. So
Paulina was next.
What?
I think Paulina was next. Maybe only she wanted to check in, but she was next in the order.
No, I'm not on the stack, but I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Hi, Steve.
Well, I certainly agree, and I have said this for months and months about this website income, because when I look at these fund drive charts that you've sent us from the fund drives, it looks like about 1% is coming from the website. So, you know, what you have on that line is doesn't match up. And this is just, well, we do need to look at this, number one, in the long run, but we're also going to need to make a good estimation today of what we're going to put on these line items. So, you know, we can chit-chat about it, but we need to come to some agreement about what we're going to do today. One of the things that, as Michael pointed out, but the word I didn't hear him say is fulfillment. In order to determine our fulfillment rate for the fund drives, that's why we need to keep those fund drives contained in one bucket, on one line item, which has historically been, you know, listener support. And then Barry got this idea of, you know, pulling out this website income and, you know, it doesn't relate to anything, and we sort of don't know where we are. But nevertheless, we're going to have to figure out today. Let me just ask one question. Where do you think this major donor income came from? Do you have any idea?
You mean on from the fund drive or on the budget?
From October. I mean, do you think it came from the fund drive or not? Why do you think it came from the fund drive?
Well, here's something. Actually, we were talking about this in a fund drive meeting yesterday. Can we get to a point with this data and allegiance to determine what the motivating factor was and the channel and the reason that they chose to use the channel that they choose? For example, you're asking, okay, the major donor income, was it because they heard the fund drive? Was it because they received the renewal letter? Was it because it was just that time of the month and they wanted to make a contribution? Or was it because I made an appeal on an email or I reached out to them personally? So it's a combination of all of those. I mean, we're not at a point where we can turn around the data and answer those questions in an easy way, but that's the direction that we're headed towards, being able to understand why somebody donates, what channel they're using, and so that we can make better, you know.
But they were all without premiums, correct?
I won't say all of them. Actually, I could look. Hold on, I should actually run a report on that. Let me write that down.
Okay.
It'll take me a few minutes. I was thinking I could do it right now, but I could do it after.
I don't need it right now. But the fact is, you know, if you're putting that in website income, that's not helpful. If you're actually putting them in major donor income line item, then that's where they should go, seems to me.
Ah, I understand. Well, yeah, here's another twist to that then, too, because there are people that donate $1,000 or $2,000. I think one of the highest donations we got last month online, I may be corrected on this, was $2,000. And that's what somebody did on the web. Now, in my FundDrive report, that $93,000 is just a breakout of from the overall total.
Wait.
So, yeah.
What? Wait. You
okay?
$93,000 was made up of how many donations then?
40. Hold on. Look at this. It's 41. Okay. Out of the total, which is 423,000 and change that we raised in this fund drive. Of that 423K, $93,000 of that came from major donors that donated $1,000 plus. Some of them donated online, and some of them donated making a phone call, and some of them sent in a check. So if we want to do a breakout of that $93,000 to know what channels they donated on, whether the web, phone, or check, we can run a report that could explain that.
But then why are you saying they're major donors? Okay, because it's over $1,000.
Because it's over $1,000. That's what I'm saying. We need to, moving forward, determine, okay, so the fund drive income is one thing, but most of our major donations come in during fund drives. So we have to break out that income if we're going to accurately reflect it, in the budget as major donor income, which is easy for us to do, a lot easier
for
us to do.
Where did you book this, Barry? Where did you book this money? What line item did you put it on?
Well, if it was over $1,000, it got booked into the major donor income.
Even if it came in on the website. Yeah, there's our problem. Okay. This all needs to be worked out.
I can't identify if it comes in on the website. I mean, I could do it through PayPal.
Well,
you have a line item
here of a whole bunch of website income, and you're telling me that you can't identify if it comes in on the website. So let's not get more in the weeds with this. This is a problem area that we need to work out, and we need to work it out quickly because we need to make a budget, and we need to know what this income is, how we're going to make our income. Okay, going down this line item, for community special events, you have $39,000, as Michael Novak pointed out. However, you have zero expenses. Both of these make no sense, that you're going to raise this kind of money with zero expenses. So this is sort of a problem here. You have grants income. You don't know what... Pardon me?
This is Paulina with a comment on that.
Do you want to wait, or is it Jermaine?
Is germane to the point you just raised.
Go ahead.
So on more than one occasion, when the Spanish language programmers organize events, we do not request anything that requires an expense for KPFK. So we basically will volunteer our time, we volunteer our labor, and anything else that's required. So that's how it's been in the past. Now, of course, that's pre-COVID. And I would say also that the fact that we can do events on remotely now, on Zoom, et cetera, perhaps,
okay.
unless labor is compensated, then it might not need to be. I would actually suggest that, yes, I agree, donations in time, in kind, should also be booked as, put on the books as some kind of, you know, given some kind of a value. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, a lot that may be true, and that may all be good, but if you know, we need a plan then with this. Okay, we need a plan for how you're going to raise $40,000 with no expenses. And until that happens, I don't see $40,000 there.
Well, getting to Paulina's point, she's right in that the only major expense that we have in community events is renting the facility.
Well, not historically. Not historically, Barry.
Or staffers. Yes, it is.
Barry, not historically. We've had tons of expenses for the community events that have been done in the last 2-3 years.
They were very minimal.
Oh, no, they weren't actually minimum at all. Some of them were over $100,000, $150,000 last year or
well,
the year
was,
before.
You're talking about this, the 50th anniversary celebration. Yes, that you're right about that, yeah.
Right.
But
well,
that,
look
like
historically, Barry, please look historically, okay? Anyways, that's a comment on that. I'd like you to tell me once again, what is grant income non-operating, and why is there any amount of money in there?
Grant income non-operating has money in there. It's,
yeah,
it's
how
line
much?
20, line 21.
Right, how
it
much?
$15,000 in there.
I know. Why is that in there? Historically, how much has that
because
cost?
Because we receive grant income from companies and individuals that do not specify where the funds are to be allocated to, whether it be development, operations, or administration. They say that you can use the money as you wish to any operations within KPFK. That's what non-operating means.
No, that's not what non-operating means. That is not what it means. I've explained this multiple times, Barry, and it does not go here.
Non-operating is income that comes in where the donor does not specify where it is to be utilized specifically.
Well, no, that's not what non-operating means, number one. Number two, what kind of grants are you getting where they specify where it should go?
Well, I mean, it could be from anybody. I mean, an individual, a philanthropist, anyone that says,
what kind of grant have you
gotten
where they have specified where it needs to go?
I can't tell you on the top of my head. They do.
Barry, what was the Barry? That was the one that was specified that we ended up having to pay back.
That was the Material World Foundation.
The Material World Foundation.
That was
which
for
$25,000. A $25,000 grant, I think, 5 years ago, and that was put into a restricted account. Now,
yes,
is there an issue?
About that. Danielle, I know all about that.
Okay, so let's solve this. Barry, why don't you move the totals from the non-operating line grant income into that the other one, the grant income?
So you want to see zero for non-operating?
Yes.
Yeah.
A non-operating grant means it does not go on the operating budget. It's something different.
It.
I've explained this multiple times. And it doesn't go on there, and you don't get this money. And I'm already, you know, you got almost $100,000 in grants. And, you know, last year you had $50,000. So, what can I say? I mean, this is... Okay, let's get down to expenses. Okay, on line 80, you got consultants. You know, I've heard Tony Bates all over this last fund drive and Johnny Angel, Johnny Wendell, whatever name he's using this time. So I think that this is somewhat under budgeted here.
What line is that?
80. So I'm not believing that's a real expense there. I mean, that was probably eaten up, you know, already. Now, on the insurance expense, line 83, you know, you said in your little note earlier today that it was going to be 587. Plus, you also had told us, I thought, that there was like a $2,000 setup fee. So maybe that needs to be worked on and revised. The rent and lease of equipment on line 94, that's too low for what I think is going on. You know, plus now you bought a new postage machine. So I think line 94 is too low. Line 97, computer maintenance, is definitely too low. You know, I mean, maybe you lowered the TechSoup thing somewhat, but by how much? And there's still other expenses. And, you know, in September, there was like $8,000 worth of expenses in this line item. So what's going on here?
Computer maintenance is where it should be, $8,500 per year.
Well, you spent $8,000 in the month of September. So how is that possible?
$8,000 for what?
Barry, look at your P&L. It's one of the things in there.
You just made a statement. What is it for? What is the $8,000 for?
How do I know? I don't have the general ledger in front of me for September.
You just put it in there. You just put out of your mouth $8,000. Don't you know what it is?
It's under computer maintenance in the P&L.
I don't remember spending $8,000 for that. $8,000.
Maybe I'm wrong. Let me see here. Telemarketing. Nope, computer. Okay, I am wrong. No, yes, I am wrong. I am wrong. I'm sorry. I was mistaken. So you have $1,400 for the whole year. And I know that there was almost $25,000 of computer expenses in the maintenance for the tower. So that's why I put in $28,000 as an estimated for computer maintenance, because all that computer maintenance money was going into the wrong category. So, whatever, I'm saying it once again, that number is too low.